Brian from Washington Evangelical Free Church in Valparaiso, Indiana, USA, and you're listening to my podcast, That's Life. Well, this last Sunday, I had the opportunity to share with the congregation at Washington Church some of the struggles that I have, and I think if you are honest, it's quite possibly some of the struggles that you have. On the one hand, I want to serve the Lord, yet on the other hand, I'm selfish, and I want to serve myself. On one hand, I really do want to build God's kingdom, but on the other hand, I want to build my own kingdom. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And although on the surface that sounds really pleasing, the truth is oftentimes I love myself, heart, soul, mind, and strength. So practically speaking, how do I build into God's kingdom? How do I invest in God's kingdom? We'll find out the answer to that and more on today's podcast.
Well, I was thinking this morning about what it must be like to be in the battlefield. I never was in the army or anything like that. My dad served, and I'm very appreciative of that. I'm very appreciative of all of you men and women who've been in the service. But I can't imagine maybe a more difficult place to try to serve the Lord than in the battlefield. I mean, you're trying to be the person God created you to be, but you're fighting this war. But I think about my own life and the struggles that I have, and I got to think that I'm not alone. Do you ever feel like the life you're living is, it's like you're on a battlefield? Do you ever feel that way? Some of you are hesitant. Some of you are like, yeah, that's definitely me. Life can be so hard, and it's so easy for us to be Christians, I think, in the comforts of this beautiful kind of sanctuary that we have set up here. It's so easy for us to be Christians when we sing these amazing songs that we love and we tell God that we love Him and we do love Him. But it's hard when we leave this and we try to be the people that God created us to be and like really actually practically apply His word and live that. I think that it's really challenging. And over the last couple weeks, I think I've been kind of introspective. I've been thinking about that lately. And what it means to be a Christian. And the Lord Jesus said, and we've talked about this before, you've heard it before, I'm sure. He said, these are the main things, guys. Love me. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's really what's important. Love God and love each other. But I think it's true of my life. And I think that if you were honest, it might be true of your life. Sometimes we tend to build our own kingdom even much more than we build God's kingdom. And it's not that I don't love God, because I do. I really do. I really want to be the man God wants me to be. When I'm all alone, I really want to be the man God wants me to be. When no one's looking, I really want to be that guy. I want to be Christ, not just in front of you, but as I live my life. Do I do that imperfectly? Yes. Do I struggle? Yes. But I want to be God's man. But what I find is often in the pattern of my life, I'm building my kingdom and then I give God what's left over. You know, I'll take care of, just like our giving, you know, I'll take care of my needs. And if there's something left over, God, I'll take care of your needs. But I'm talking much more than just giving. In fact, that's not even really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what I invest my life in. I invest my life oftentimes primarily to serve my needs, what makes me happy, what brings me joy and peace and all of those things. And I'm not as concerned about building God's kingdom. In your study guide, it mentions 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And this is kind of just a picture of the way that we in our natural selves build our kingdom. Now, I know you've heard me say a lot, I talk about the difference between our spiritual selves and our natural selves. What I mean by that when I say our natural self, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you really have been filled with the Holy Spirit. God has indwelled you. Like filling up a balloon, your balloon is filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we can yield to His control of our life or not, but having believed, we received in ourselves the promised Holy Spirit. The natural man is when I'm not being operating in the Spirit. The natural man is how I live naturally when maybe the Spirit's directing me to go this way, but I just choose to go that way. That's what I mean by the natural man. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it describes my life, probably most of our lives as we, when we surrender to kind of the natural man. John said this, "For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but from the world." And that's really a picture of how we, in our natural selves, build our own kingdom with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And you've heard this before. The lust of the flesh is what makes my flesh feel good. And by the way, I think the natural tendency or the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of the lust of the flesh is, oh, it's talking about abusing drugs and alcohol, right? I want to do something that pleases my flesh. And although, sure, that would fall in that category, so would overeating. You know, that's something that we're all guilty of. Most of us, some of us more than others. But lust of the flesh is anything that we do that makes our flesh feel good. And it could be something as simple as, I really have had a bad day or a bad week, and I just want to go home, and I kind of want to numb the pain, and I sit in front of the television. That could be an example of lust of the flesh. I just want to check out. Or any of these compulsive behaviors like stealing or gambling, there we get that rush, pornography, obviously inappropriate sexuality outside the confines of marriage. These are our lust of the flesh. They're things that make our flesh feel good. And in our natural self, that's how we build our kingdom. What can I do to make myself feel good, even if it's against God's will? How can I build my kingdom? How can I make my flesh feel good? My flesh has desires, and I'm going to fill them whatever way I can. The other thing that it said was lust of the eyes, and that's a much more simple one. Those are things that we see that we would like, that we think are going to meet our needs. These are trinkets and toys, gadgets and gizmos. It could be houses and cars and motorcycles and boats and RVs. You know, whatever it is that I think that I want that you can purchase with money, that's going to buy me happiness. That's another way we build our kingdom. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saving up my birthday money. There's a new guitar that I want because I don't have enough guitars yet. But eventually, maybe. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as that doesn't become your God. As long as if I never get that guitar, I'm at peace. But we think that we have to have that thing and that's going to fulfill me. That's another way we build our kingdom, lust of the eyes. And the last one was the boastful pride of life. And that's where my sense of acceptance and approval, adoration, all comes from other people rather than from the Lord. And my sense of acceptance, approval, and adoration comes from the things that I have or the position that I have or who I happen to be, whatever it is, that prideful, it's about me. And those are ways that when we live in the natural, if we're not being led by the Spirit, we try to build our kingdom with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and lust of our prideful life, boastful pride of life. But the encouragement for us today is that if we're following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we're going to build God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is about loving God and loving others. So there needs to be this paradigm shift. Because in a very real way, like I said, I want to be the man God wants me to be. I want to be the husband and the father. You've heard me say that before. I want to be the pastor God wants me to be. But I want to be the person in the community, whatever it is, the employee, employer, you know, whatever situation we find ourselves in. I want to be the best that I can be. But it's this paradigm shift where I've got to come outside of focusing on building my kingdom. And I got to think about loving God and loving others. Building His kingdom is about other people. You know, I want God's will to be done in Washington Church. I want Washington Church to grow. But that's going to take me coming outside of myself. It's going to take us coming outside of ourselves and focusing on other people. But could you imagine this sticky church that we've been talking about the last couple weeks, where we come outside of ourselves, where we do life together like this sermon series is talking about, filled with the Spirit. We are a people who primarily don't focus on ourselves and building our kingdom and on occasion build God's, but we primarily build God's kingdom and love each other. And yes, on occasion we fall and we build our kingdom. I want us to look at our scripture passage for today, which comes from Matthew chapter 25. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. And I'll take this opportunity to remind you, if you don't have your Bibles, I really encourage you. I understand that some Bibles are big and some people are getting older and it's hard to carry, because in order for the print to be big enough for you to see it, your Bible's this big. You don't have to bring your Bible. The rest of us, if you can carry your Bible, I encourage you to bring it so that you can follow along. But I do provide the study guide as well, so you can follow along there. We're in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. It's quite a lengthy scripture passage, but it's a real powerful teaching from the Lord Jesus. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and here's what he says. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more, but the one who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banks, and at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's a really interesting scripture passage, and we could spend a couple weeks breaking that down. But I want to point out a few things that are interesting in this passage. And first one comes from right down at the bottom in verse 29, where Jesus said, "For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, I think most of us understand that this is an illustration, that we're not really talking about investing a master's, you know, property, but it's an illustration. The talents represent the gifts God gives us. and investing them represents building into God's kingdom, investing in God's kingdom. But what's interesting, then, Jesus represents the master. And when he returns, represents the time when we're going to have to stand before our Lord and give an account for our lives. So it's really interesting because he says, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Has that scripture verse ever confused any of you? I know that I've read this scripture passage before and I think, I don't get it. Because that doesn't sound like the heart of Jesus. Those who have will be given even more. The poor folks who don't have any, even what they have will be taken away. That doesn't sound like the heart of God. But as I study this passage, I realize that's not exactly what he's saying. But the master gave everyone talents. Something to invest. Something to build into God's kingdom with. He gave the first guy five. And he took it and he invested it. And when he came back, he had interest to give to his master. The second one he gave two. And he took it and he invested it. And when his master came back, he gave the interest to the master. The third one he gave one. He took it and he buried it. And the master returned and he had nothing to give him. And Jesus said, the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. What he has or has not, he's talking about the interest. Have you taken any of what I've given you and invested it into my kingdom, or are you too busy building your own kingdom? And then there's this dire warning, and I didn't even notice it until this time reading it through, and I know I've read this passage several times, yet I never noticed before that he calls the servant worthless. And can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and he says to me or he says to you, take this worthless servant. Like, ouch. But it's a big deal to God. We're commanded, we are required to invest what God has given us. Now, the big take home is that we need to get busy investing what God's given us. We need to get busy building into God's kingdom. But sometimes I think that we make this into a bigger deal than it is. In fact, so much so that we get fearful of investing at all. By the way, isn't it interesting? Did you catch why the guy who had one talent didn't invest it? What was it that prevented him from investing? That's right, fear. Fear, because he was afraid, he didn't invest into God's kingdom. It'd be worth considering, are there fears that are keeping me from investing into God's kingdom? And I think sometimes we have this misunderstanding that, gee, if I'm going to invest into God's kingdom, I've got to do something really big for God. Oftentimes we think, I guess, if I'm called to minister, wow. If I'm called to invest into God's kingdom, I've got to start a new program at church, or I've got to teach Sunday school, or I've got to teach a small group. And that's not the case at all. And maybe that's got your calling. But often, God is calling you to use what he's already given you and to give that back, to invest that in big ways. Maybe you are to start a new ministry, but also in small ways. When I was a truck driver, I was a big fan of talk radio. I would listen to talk radio from early morning until I got home late at night. And it got to the point where I knew every single talk show host on this particular channel. In fact, over the course of several years, I had the opportunity to meet almost all of them. Now, my friend called me a stalker. I prefer that I was a big fan, okay? But I love talk radio, and I very much enjoyed listening to these guys. And I always fancied that, you know, maybe someday I'll have a talk radio, you know, show. I'd love that. And the same with Christian radio. I mean, how many of you are ministered to pretty consistently by Christian radio? Any of you? Oh, a lot of you are. Dr. David Jeremiah, K.P. O'Hannon, Dr. James Dobson, you know, the list goes on and on. All of these pastors, Chuck Swindoll, all of these pastors that ministered to me. And I always would, you know, thought I'd love to have some Christian, you know, radio ministry. Now, I do have a blessing to be in a very limited fashion, you know, on the local radio here. And one of the programs gets broadcast to the East Coast and around Chicagoland as well. But that's not what I'm talking about. Like, I've always had this dream that I would have this talk radio show. So, you know what I did? I started a podcast. Now, this podcast, I can do whatever I want. It's my podcast. I put it on the internet. Now, how many followers do you think I have? Any guesses? 2? That wasn't nice. Someone actually put their fingers up and they guessed correctly. I have 5 followers. 5. However, one of them's probably my mom, so really, I've got 4 followers. The reason that I say that is it doesn't have to be big. If God has given you a desire, if God has given you a desire in your heart, take a look at the gifts He's given you, your passions, and use it to bless someone. If my podcast was a church, there's 5 people going to church. One of them's Matt. Let's give Matt a hand right now. Matt just goes, "No, I didn't." I must have clicked it on accident. Thank you. But there's only, 5 people are being blessed, you know, and on occasion more than 5 people will click it. But if it were a church, like I said, only 5 people go to that church. I just think that sometimes we think, if I'm going to invest into God's kingdom, then I got to do something really big. And you don't. Those little opportunities that you have with one person is an opportunity to build into God's kingdom, to invest into God's kingdom. And sometimes we think, I'm not ministering because I don't have a worldwide radio program. I've only got a couple of people. I'm not ministering because it was just a woman at the grocery store. And yes, I took time out and I told her about the love of God, or I asked her if I could pray with her. But that is advancing God's kingdom. That's investing what God's given you into His kingdom, and that counts. I think sometimes we have this idea of ministry that I can't minister unless it's in a grand scale, and I don't think that that's the case. Isn't it interesting, too, that one person had 5 talents, and one person only had 1. The guy that had 2 got just as much accolades as the person who had 5. The Lord said, "Man, well done, good and faithful servant," to both of them. God just expects us to use whatever it is that He gave us. I do not want to embarrass anyone, but I want to tell you this because it is a win. It's a success, and I think that we need to celebrate our successes. Here's another example. Last Sunday, we're talking about doing life together. And at the end of the service, I said, "Guys, look." I said, "I know that many of you are getting ready to go to lunch." I said, "I know that we didn't announce that we're going to do anything special." I said, "But if you're here today and you've got time, after we close in prayer, and I'll give a blessing like I normally do, if you have time," I said, "could you stick around and maybe go and see someone? If there's a visitor today, make sure you greet them." I said, "If there's someone here that maybe you don't know or you don't usually talk to, go and get to know them." We were talking about doing life together. I said, "Maybe if there's someone that you normally, you know, you kind of normally gravitate to this person because you have common interests, rather than just talk about the game that's on later today," I said, "pray for one another." And I didn't know how it was going to go, but I kind of encouraged the congregation with that. So I closed in prayer, and right over here was sitting someone who had brought a visitor. My thought was, I'm going to close up my stuff, and afterwards I'm going to go and talk to that visitor. Now, again, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I want to celebrate the success. Beth Shire happened to be in the second row over here, and this person was in the second or third row over here. I said amen. Beth Shire puts on her running shoes, and she bolts across here, and she gets to that couple before I had a chance to fold up my stuff and get that. I was closer to them than she was, but she ran over and she ministered to that couple, and it just kind of made me smile. So after I walked by, I kept walking, and I was kind of just looking around the congregation, and it was cool because a lot of you guys really took that to heart. A lot of you guys, I saw kind of real young people talking with a little older, a little more mature people. And it made my heart happy because I thought, that's real. I think sometimes we think, wow, in order to be in ministry, I got to do this big thing. We can invest in God's kingdom just by doing little things like that. And Beth was an awesome, awesome example of that last week. So in closing, I'd like us to look at how real practically the Holy Spirit helps us to do this, to invest not in our kingdom, but into God's kingdom. So as way of illustration, I happened to be driving downtown this last Thursday, and as I drove down the road, I looked over and I saw a beautiful, this guy who was walking this golden lab, beautiful dog. And so I happened to look over and I think, oh, this guy's out walking his dog. But then I noticed it had a different kind of harness on it. And I thought, oh, it's a seeing eye dog. And it was kind of cool because I'm sure I've seen that in movies, but I don't think I've ever seen a seeing eye dog in real life. So I come up to the light and I'm kind of watching it. Like, this is really cool. And I kind of wanted to wait till the light turned green to see what happens. Like, how does this work? So I came to a stop and I'm looking over at him and I noticed that the dog's looking the whole time. I'd love to know, do they see the light? Do they see the light turns green and that's how they know? I don't know, but he was looking around. The light turned green and I watched and he didn't go. And I thought, well, I got traffic behind me. I got to go. So I started to go, and a moment or two later, the dog starts to walk the guy safely across the street. And that was really neat. But it occurred to me, I know it's kind of a crude illustration, but that's kind of how the Holy Spirit works with us. The Holy Spirit prompts us, and he leads us, and we follow where he goes. But it occurred to me, that guy he wasn't strapped to the dog. He wasn't harnessed to the dog where he couldn't get out. He just had a hold of him. And when he had a hold of him, he could follow where the dog led. It would have been okay for him to let go. He had it within his power. He could have turned and walked right across the street the other way. It would have been dangerous for him. Just like when you and I, we don't follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Maybe life is hard and we turn to other things to kind of ease that pain, or maybe someone lashes out in anger at us, and rather than submitting to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we lash back in anger. But when he was connected to that dog, he went the safe way, and the same way the Spirit leads us. But it occurred to me too, you know, when you get a seeing eye dog, they don't just say, here's Sparky, your new dog, go your way. You got to learn to work with that. You got to kind of take some lessons and practice. And the same is true with us. It takes practice for us to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to kind of understand how he's speaking to us. But one real practical way that he does is just through the fruit of the Spirit. I think I wrote in your study guide, Ephesians. It's obviously Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. In fact, Ephesians 5:22, I think, is like, wives, submit to your husbands. So maybe it was like this psychological thing that I was trying to do. I don't know. No, it really was not smart. It really was a mistake. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And in the best case scenario, you and I not only are filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember I talked about the balloon. Our body is the balloon, but the balloon is filled up with the Spirit. Just like a, you know, balloon could be filled with air or helium. We don't always submit to the Spirit. We're not always kind of plugged into God, so to speak. But when we're plugged into God, when we're living in relationship with Him, we're allowing Him to direct our lives, kind of like the seeing eye dog. When we're living in the Spirit, picture, if you will, we have a bank, and our piggy bank is filled up with love. And so maybe I'm not feeling very loved right now. Maybe I'm going through a tough time. Maybe my, you know, girlfriend dumps you, or your wife and you are fighting, or your husband and you are fighting. I might not feel loved, but my love bank is full through the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? But we've also got a bank for joy. Now, maybe life circumstances are really tough, but I'm so plugged into the Holy Spirit. I'm so plugged into the Lord through my prayer time, through spending time in His Word, through worshiping Him. I feel so loved by God. I feel so much joy and peace with God. Those banks are full. Now we come to a situation, and maybe it is trying our patience, because the first three fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the next one is what? Patience. Good. All four of you. Good. Patience. This circumstance requires patience. It's trying my patience, but I already feel completely loved by God. I'm all overflowing with joy of the Lord, and I've got peace with the Lord. So how can I have patience in this difficult time? Because my bank is already filled with God. And you could go on down the line. Kindness. Maybe your neighbor's being totally hateful to you. Maybe revengeful. Maybe saying awful things, doing awful, spiteful things, whatever it is. And you're not feeling any love from your neighbor. And there's no joy in the situation. And there's no peace in the situation. How can I have kindness to my neighbor when he's doing these things? Because my love, joy, and peace are already filled with the Holy Spirit, are already filled because of my relationship with the Lord. And we could go on down the line. How can we have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? It's because we've already got the love, joy, and peace of the Lord. So out of the first three come the last six fruit of the Spirit. I just think of how many of these fruit of the Spirit are only for us, and how much of the fruit of the Spirit actually have to do with other people, actually are relational. Love, joy, and peace, that's for me, but that's also what I can give to you. But patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, these are all things that the Spirit does in us for other people. Isn't it interesting? How much of the fruit of the Spirit's not actually for us? It's what God gives in us to give to each other. So we can't actually even operate in the fruit of the Spirit unless we're living relationally that God created us to live. And that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works. And by the way, imagine, or how the prompting of the Holy Spirit works. Imagine if we became that sticky church we've been talking about last week and this week. Imagine if God began to work those fruit in us so much that Linda, man, I love her because she's always smiling. She's always filled with joy. She's always bubbling over with the love of God. She's always peaceful and patient and so kind, you know, and everyone wants to know Linda because she's Linda, you know, and the whole neighborhood is like, wow, what is different about you? And she's like, I'm part of this faith community. And you know, and Carl, same thing. He's the most patient guy I know, Carl is. And, you know, all of these things are just overflowing. Why are you laughing? You know, and can you imagine what a sticky church we would become as we allow the Holy Spirit to work that in us? Man, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to go to your church. Man, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to learn more about that. God requires us to invest in his economy, in his kingdom. And one simple thing we can invest are these fruit of the Spirit. He's given them to us. He wants to develop them in us. And I had a situation this morning where I wasn't acting in the Holy Spirit. I was acting in the flesh, in the natural. And so I was wanting to get here as soon as I can. And the boys were being really good. They really were. And I said, all right, it's time to go. And Jacob was putting on his shoes and he needed to do one more thing. I don't remember what it was. And he's like, it's okay, Dad. I just need to do one more thing. And my natural self, I was like, And then my sermon came to mind. It really did. And I thought, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. You know, let the Holy Spirit answer that with patience and kindness. That's a simple way we can minister to one another. It's so easy for us to say, you know, can't you learn? You should have had that. Instead of just fruit of the Spirit, joy and peace and patience, I can let God work that through me and I can minister to him and bless him. Those are little ways that we can make a difference in our family. Those are little ways that we can make a difference in our church. And what a powerful family you're going to have when that begins to be true. What a powerful church we're going to have as that grows more and more, as we are letting the Holy Spirit work through us and we're building God's kingdom by building each other up through the gifts that he's always already given us. Maybe God is calling you today to Africa. Maybe God is calling you to a third world country. I don't know. Maybe God wants you to be the next Chuck Swindoll on the radio. But maybe God just wants you to talk to that kid that you work with. Maybe God just wants you to minister, to spend a little bit more time with that person that's challenging or that person that's hurting. Maybe God wants you to begin to invest in his kingdom instead of rushing out on Sundays to take time and talk to people. You know, to be the church that God created us to be, to bless one another. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I'm grateful for your word and the encouragement, the challenge that it gives us. Because you have given us good gifts, and I know that we squander them sometimes, or we just don't use them at all. And I know too, Lord, sometimes I'm so busy building my own kingdom. I think there's probably others here that would do the same if we're honest. God, we build our own kingdom. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. And there's no place for that in your kingdom. Help us, God, find amazing freedom and joy and peace and power as we submit to your will. We begin to build your kingdom. I pray you, like that song says, build your kingdom here. Change the atmosphere. God, change the atmosphere of our homes. Change the atmosphere of your work, of our work. Change the atmosphere of this church, God. That when people walk in, whether they've been here 1,000 times or a first time, they would just see the love of Jesus. They would just feel the love. That we would be friendly and loving and sticky. Lord, I praise you for this, and I pray you do this work in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and to your glory. Amen.